sticking with us after getting scared to death by Mr. Jeff Smith. We've got Peter Warren from the County Ag Department. It's not the County Ag Department. You're the U of A Extension Office.
That's right.
And what is the function of the Extension Office?
Well, the Extension Office is literally an extension of the university into the communities. We have an office in every county in the state, and actually every state in the nation has extension service as well. And our job is to educate the public on a wide variety of topics, from agriculture to nutrition, how to raise a family, balance your checkbook, all kinds of stuff.
And there is so much information left and right, pro and con, on GMOs when you search around. I think anybody that has ever done it at some point has just completely washed their hands and given up, because you can't decide who's right. You can't decide who's wrong. This guy says this. That guy says that. This guy's a doctor at this. That guy's a professor of science. When somebody asks you at the Ag Department, what education do you point them towards?
Well, I think that there's a lot of research out there done by land-grant universities on genetically modified foods, and that we wouldn't be promoting them if we thought they were dangerous. That's basically the bottom line.
My biggest point to all that is when they start talking about that and everything, I'm like, but we've got the largest population we've ever had in history. If it was this bad, wouldn't we just be dropping left and right like flies?
Yeah, well, we are dropping left and right from other things, you know, like from eating too much sugar and, you know, getting things like diabetes. And, you know, there's definitely a lot of nutritional problems out there that are pretty important to deal with.
And, Tony, you had made a point. A lot of the magic at Rosie on the House happens during commercial breaks. And I've said this before, Mike, I'm giving you an assignment. You've got to find out how to record the off-air conversations, and then we're going to charge a membership for that people can go listen to that audio. Because what you will hear a lot, it will make a lot of people mad, but then if you're paying for the content, you can't get mad at us because you can just stop subscribing. You don't have to listen.
Yes.
We won't put that on air for the public. But you had mentioned a big part of the GMOs isn't necessarily the GMO itself. If you go to an organic diet,
it's eliminating the sugars. Like what we were just talking about during the break is so many of these people, when they do go to an organic diet, or they're just trying to get away from the processed foods, they've eliminated the sugars out of those processed foods, and that's what makes the biggest difference. You go and look now at anything and everything from, you know, getting just a plain bean salad and go and look and see how much sugar they've added to that. You know, there's no reason to have sugar added to everything that you're going out and buying as food anymore. Go and read the label. See what's actually in there for those processed foods. It's not so much what's been processed, it's what's been added to them.
And you've seen the movie Fed Up, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
And that, what's your take? Is that pretty accurate on
well,
that one?
I can't say it's all accurate, but I would say it's definitely in the right direction, as we're talking about here, nutritionally. There's a recent book out, too, that from one of our local Tucson folks called Unprocessed, which talks about really eating unprocessed foods as a healthier alternative to some of the stuff that you get packaged in the grocery stores.
There's an organization I met at that Heirloom Expo where I met Jeff called Slow Food, and that's what they're about, is slow. It's the reverse of the fast food movement. You know, when chicken, we eat so much chicken, most of it's harvested at 37 days. When to get the true flavor of chicken, you need it at least 4 months old. So we don't even know what chicken tastes like if all you've ever had is what it's been processed. It talks about growing it. It's a lot of, like I said, it if it's a concern, if it's a problem, grow your own. And what happens when a lot of people grow their own?
Well,
they get wiped out by an insect and they want Roundup.
Yes.
Because that stuff they used didn't work. And then you understand why this product is useful.
Well, it's some of it, too, where you're seeing so much added sugar. They're going out into the fields. The idea is, how quickly can I get this to market? I'm going to maybe make a little more money, or I'm producing more of it. We're keeping up with demand so it doesn't go to waste. So they'll pick the fruit, vegetables early. And vegetables have their own natural sugars, which we call Brix. And you go out and you measure the Brix level. And if you pick that early, then it doesn't have the taste, doesn't have the natural sweetness. And so how can you compensate for that when you're going and putting it in there and trying to get somebody to eat it and you want them to come back and eat your food again? You add sugar.
But then the farmer can't wait till it's ripe, because by the time it gets from his field to the processing plant, the distribution location, into the truck, and on shelf at the grocery store, it's probably it could be spoiled by then.
if he waits till it's fully ripe and has that ideal Brix level, it's too late. Yes, by the time it gets to the grocery store.
So interesting world. It's agriculture is a very difficult business to be in, for sure. We've got, but we're here for the Arizona homeowners. And if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. Let's bring Owen into the conversation. Talk about his pomegranate. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, and thank you for your wonderfully refreshing program. I love it.
Thank you.
I have a simple question, and then maybe a second follow-up, if I may. I've got a number of pomegranates planted, and they're ready to harvest, those that have good fruit. And I wanted to harvest them early because the birds and actually the roof rats get after them and they enjoy them, then we don't get to. So if I pull them off the bush early and put them into a box in a cool place, will they continue to sweeten or will they, what will the outcome be?
No, pomegranates aren't really going to continue to sweeten all that much once they've been harvested. Believe it or not, you always see them nice and shiny in the grocery store with the fruit. And the sweetest ones are ones that have gone from that shiny color to a dull red color. That's where they've actually gotten the best sweetness to them. And, yes, it's hard leaving them on there to pick them with the birds always going after them. So, yes, you have to break down, and I do every year. I'll try and have the first 3 weeks of just picking one or two a day and eating it off of my pomegranates at home. But by about the third week of really being ripe, I got to break down and pick them all and put them in boxes, and I think this year we're going to have to go out and buy a new fridge to store all the pomegranates. If you wrap them in a piece of newspaper, stick them in your fridge, you can keep them. I've had people keep them up to 6 months that way.
Wow. And just plain old
newspaper.
Daily Star newspaper right here?
Just Daily Star newspaper, no, whatever you've got.
Interesting. What does the newspaper do?
So that if they're touching or anything, and you do have one that goes bad or bruised, like where it had been attacked by a bug. We were talking earlier with Peter about the five-footed leaf bugs, these sucking insects that you don't see the damage on the outside, and you've cut your pomegranate open, and it's already rotting on the inside from where a sucking beetle has gotten to it. Then this way you're not spreading that rot through the rest of the crop that you're storing in your fridge.
Right. They penetrate the fruit with their very tiny mouth part, and it sometimes introduces a rot that way, and you don't notice it right away until you cut open the fruit sometimes. But, yeah, that's something you need to manage early on in the season by looking for their eggs when they're laying them, because if they get a good-sized population, it's going to be difficult to control once they're adults.
And your follow-up question, Owen?
I have some pomegranate, small bushes from an old farm here in the valley. Transplanted them to my home. They grew. They have a great deal of fruit on there. They've been in my yard probably 4 years, and they're probably a total of 5 or 6 years old. But even while there's a lot of fruit, the fruit is not tasty or even edible. And I wonder, is this bush its entire life going to produce unedible fruit or more water? Or
And this isn't your pomegranate. This is something else, correct?
No, this is a pomegranate, pomegranate that okay. I dug up at a farm on actually 40th Street in the 202.
Okay.
It wasn't producing. It hadn't produced fruit forever, and I just dug up a couple wild ones, and they're beautiful with a lot of fruit on them. But
it's just tastes bad. Okay.
It depends. If it was a named variety that just somebody had planted and left there, or if it was a volunteer from seed. When you get something to come up from seed, you never know the quality of the fruit that it's going to produce. I've had a number of them. Volunteer from seed because the birds eating all the pomegranates around my house now after 15 years. I had one that unfortunately I think I lost to rats, tried it, was growing it in a pot, had a very good sweet berry flavor. All the others tasted terrible. I got one I gave to my sister now this year. Now I'm going to have to play around with it. It's sweet, not as sweet as the others, but it's probably 90% seedless, and it's just a volunteer seed from a wonderful pomegranate. So that may be part of what you've got going on. Either that or you're just picking them too early, not letting them get fully ripe. A lot of times a touch of cool weather like we finally had here this last week is what helps concentrate the natural sugars in the pomegranates, in all your fruits, especially even citrus, to help give them the good flavor. You may try switching up to an organic base fertilizer like bat guano or fish meal is what I'm always big on. But if it was a wild pomegranate from seed, it may never give good fruit. I'm trying to think while we're talking here. It was one of the Gulf State Ag Extension offices, whether it was Texas, Louisiana, one of those. They did about 15,000 different fruit trees from seed. Most all of them were stone fruits. And they had less than 1,000 gave good edible crop plants again afterwards of growing them out.
Which is why when you go to a nursery and you buy a fruit plant, it's grafted from a good rootstock and a good sweet producing tree. Do they? But pomegranate is a multi-trunk. Can you graft a pomegranate?
No, but pomegranates are just done from cuttings. Those are straight from cuttings.
And we're actually, we've got some ongoing research at the university on pomegranate varieties right here in Tucson. Our extension horticulture professor, Ursula Shook, has about 30 or so varieties currently under study for the last 3 years now, in which they're trying to determine which ones grow best in places like Yuma, Tucson, and Bowie, so that we can recommend those varieties to consumers who are about to buy a new plant.
How many pomegranate varieties are there?
That's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head.
And it's originally from the Middle East.
No. It's I've got the book from the professor Levine. He was a scientist in the former Soviet Union. He was Jewish, and so he was punished and sent to the Far East because he was Jewish. He did research Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, through all those regions, and he identified and named hundreds of different varieties of pomegranates. I have his book and his CD. When the Soviet Union collapsed, they sent all of that stuff to UC Davis, and unfortunately, my understanding is UC Davis took a lot of his named varieties and just assigned them numbers, so nobody's really sure of what's what. Some of them are very good. Serednaya is probably one of the best pomegranates you will ever eat. I managed to get a hold of some cuttings that I'm growing out now. There's one that's been around here in southern Arizona for a long time. Former neighbor has it. It's pure white and as sweet as can be come August.